We've got some stuff on Microsoft Lists. We're talking a little about Cortana being smart with our various communications. Shall we jump into it?
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Go ahead and say that again.
Well, you were just listing what we're going to cover, and as you switch scenes there, I was mumbling, and we're going to talk about Microsoft killing SharePoint workflow as we know it. So,
well, it was on the horizon, wasn't it?
Well, we'll talk about that. Well, as soon as we're going to jump in here shortly, and we're going to discuss, was it on the horizon, and how are we being communicated with, and what we need to do. So we'll discuss that.
Probably not as obvious as, hey, there's this thing called Teams and it's taken over Skype. But okay. Let's save it for the game.
Yeah. Hello everyone. Welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you here. We are really looking forward to today's show. We have several people in the chat. That's fantastic. Good to see you, everyone. We'll be watching that. Please post your questions. And we've got lots of great information here, and it's kind of all over the board as far as the spectrum of services. We have SharePoint, we have Office, we have Cortana, we have Microsoft Lists, we have and we're going to talk about some Teams stuff that was announced. So we've got a lot of things, right, Daryl? It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Look, and I'm even going to get into a bit of the Office Pro Plus updates, because usually we dismiss that and go, updates. But I thought maybe it's a good thing to take a closer look and to have a look at a few things that might impact your user experience and improve the way that you work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get stuck into the first one.
Our first one is titled Retiring SharePoint 2010 Workflows, MC217999. First, I want to say this is a little misleading, but it's specifically calling out SharePoint 2010 workflows, and you might look at that and go, oh, I'm in SharePoint Online, that 2010 doesn't mean anything to me. Yes, it does, and we'll talk about that in a second. But second of all, I want to say this was announced on the Office End of Support blog. Did you even know such a thing existed?
I have been sort of keeping up to date with some of our favorite product group people, and there was someone who had that graveyard shift.
I didn't know that blog existed. It's the first post was in April of 2020, and it's had four posts. I think it's interesting. It was highlighted. Well, we announced it on the Office End of Support blog. What?
Where's the feed?
There it is. Anyway, so this includes SharePoint Designer workflows. So SharePoint Designer 2010 and SharePoint Designer 2013 could create these workflows called 2010 workflows. And it also includes, and when we say SharePoint Designer 2010 workflows or 2013 workflows, it's a different engine that runs 2010 workflows in 2013. 2013 required a new engine, a workflow engine, to have those run. And so they're actually different, and you have to select when you go into SharePoint Designer to create a workflow. You have to select, is this a 2010 or a 2013 workflow? Okay, so it includes those, as well as out-of-the-box SharePoint workflows. And many people don't realize that. They go, oh, I didn't use SharePoint Designer, I'm fine. No, you're not. This includes approvals, collect feedback, collect signatures, three-state workflow, and publishing pages workflow. So you have less than 4 months now. It's actually, 3.5 months-ish, to find all your workflows in your environment, figure out if they're being used, reconstruct them in Power Automate, test with your users, and then switch to using the new Power Automate all within 4 months, less than 4 months. I heard from another IT pro that they have thousands of these workflows in use in their environment. Now, it's a big company, but still, what are they going to do? And then if you think about, for those of you using SharePoint Classic sites and have information management policy settings, and I've done this for many of clients in the past, you know, you go into a list or library and you configure the information management policy and say created plus, you know, 300 days, kick off this workflow kind of bit to try to make sure that content is updated for contracts or whatever it is. Well, though you can set retention, like I said, along with other settings. Retention, you're going to have to go in those and rethink these, because not only will those retention, you're not going to be able to kick off a Power Automate, kick off a flow in Power Automate using that. So not only are you going to have to redo your workflows, you're going to have to redo the way you do retention for your documents. Let's talk about the timing. August 1st, new tenants will, if you go in to create a new Microsoft 365 tenant, you will not have a SharePoint 2010 workflow option at all. August 1st, 2020. November 1st, all SharePoint 2010. Now, remember, it's SharePoint 2010 designer workflows as well as those out-of-box workflows will be unable to run, and you won't be able to create new ones. That's November 1st, 2020. Also on November 1st, 2020, SharePoint 2013 workflows will be turned off by default for new tenants. You'll have a PowerShell to be able to turn it back on or to turn it on. I really do feel like, and everything's pointing in this direction, that this is the first step in turning SharePoint 2013 workflows off as well. I would expect that the retirement of 2013 workflows to be announced if this whole 2010 retirement goes well. If you have a problem with only getting, well, actually less than 4 months notice for this happening, contact Microsoft today. Find the highest ranking person you know in Microsoft and tell them why it is adversely affecting you. If everyone in the world complained, I don't think they would stop this from happening, but I think they would postpone it, giving organizations more time. But it's going to have to be a lot of people screaming, to be honest. Hmm. So how do you find the workflows? That's kind of the first question, and it's laid out in the information that's linked in the message. Use the SharePoint Modernization Scanner, and this scanner is an app that has several options, and one of those is to find old workflows. Want to make sure people understand, run it as an app. There are several ways that it details, oh, you could run it this way or that way. And one of those is just use username and password. Well, it failed for me on multiple machines. So, and I reported a bug that run it as an app, a service app, which means there's things that are involved. This is not a power user thing. This is an IT pro admin function to use the SharePoint Modernization Scanner. And I guess finally, and I'll take a breath and a drink of water, but there's no migration path. So there's going to be no magic button that you click and say, oh, I want to transfer all my SharePoint 2010 approval workflows into Power Automate flows. That's not going to happen. It's a rebuild. So when I was talking about, you've got less than 4 months to identify if they're even being used, and then recreating, testing, and all that, I meant it. You're going to have to manually go and do all of that. So I'm going to pause.
Well, Daniel's pausing. Yeah, just thinking about the impacts, as you've seen the tone that Daniel has taken. It is definitely an important thing, and perhaps it should have been our headline, because each of those workflows essentially is an app. And if you've really bought into the SharePoint ecosystem, since workflows have been around and you've started to create those, then this is why it's a big job to turn around and upgrade them and shift them to an entirely different platform.
Well, and it is something you said something initially about it being announced, and we kind of knew it was happening. What we knew was, and has been notified, you know, we've been told for a while now that we're not going to be able to utilize SharePoint Designer workflows, will not be supported in on-prem after 2026.
All right.
But in that same post, there's in that post, it talks specifically about on-prem, but most people skip over it. It was never said that these workflows would be supported in SharePoint Online until 2026. It was only on-prem, and it was kind of, it wasn't highlighted. It was just, hey, on-prem, we will support this till 2026. No timing has been announced for this to be turned off in SharePoint Online until just now. And again, you have less than 4 months notice.
Yeah, yeah. So a big job to turn around and change those to to different Power Automate structures and dealing with some of the shortcomings if if you find them. Big breath, everyone. All right. Well, I'm glad you started out with that really important one, Daniel, because it probably deserves a show in itself to help people go through and look and evaluate at some of the ways that you can identify it. Even demoing the tool that helps you find these flows and workflows and working your way through it. But yeah, let's keep on moving through to something not as heavy. Sorry, we'll change it. The Cortana briefing email. This is a message. It's updated. It's a new feature. MC217997, and it's something that I've seen appear over the last sort of few weeks as a Office 365 admin. The Cortana briefing email will go through your mailbox and, with some intelligence, because we're talking about Cortana here, she'll take a look at some of the content, identify whether there's some tasks involved in some of your emails, look at some of the upcoming meetings that you have today, and also, as we'll see in an example here, let's go over to that screen. I don't live in this particular account all day, every day. It's not my work account. It's my MVP tenant. So there's not a lot going on there. But Cortana has found a task for me to do. Thank you, Helen Jones and Colab 365 and Global Con 3. I have a task, which is to help potentially earn through referrals. But enough of that. They're not sponsoring the show. So is it a task or not? You know, it'll recognize those sorts of things. Also, it's offering to book some focus time for me because it can see that it's the beginning of my week and I might want to grab a couple of hours today to actually, you know, get some uninterrupted time. So it's those sorts of things that Cortana briefing email will find and will introduce to you near the beginning of your day so you can get your head in the right space. Where did this message come through? It comes through at around about 8:30 my time. And I've had a look through using search, and I'm not really getting these super regularly because one of the things is it's looking for certain conditions and it will decide whether or not to send you a briefing email. Now, because my mailbox is not really used for work, there's not a lot going on there. So you might find that these briefing emails will not appear each day. But the interesting thing about this, if we cut back to our message and our rollout, is rollout starting early August, completing end of September. And it's rolling out to user level at this stage. There's a PowerShell command for admins to run if they want to unsubscribe everyone to this service. And it, you know, given that it is an unsubscribe command, I would say it's something you have to run repeatedly. Maybe there's nothing there quite yet to make that the default. But they delivered this email initially to Office 365 admins to give you an idea of what this looks like. And I think it's kind of helpful, get you in the zone. Have you received it in your MVP tenant, Daniel? Do you get it anywhere useful at the moment? Like, are you an admin in your workplace?
I am an admin in my workplace, but I in a different account. So in an account I actually don't check very regularly.
An admin account.
Right. So for my MVP tenant, I don't think I got it today, no. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, My Analytics Focus Edition.
Yep.
But
nothing from Cortana.
but nothing for Cortana. But yep. I mean, it gives me, so that Focus Edition does give me kind of similar information in that I can book focus time. And so I think there, it will be interesting to see how this plays out with all of these different emails that we get. You know, you get these separate or kind of those different emails about what's going on with your calendar and such with your My Analytics. And so how does that play into all this? I could see how people could get really tired of receiving so many emails. But I think that, but yeah, I mean, I could see a lot of people being utilizing this, especially if they're ingrained or using Outlook for tasks and really doing that a lot. And maybe they miss tasks, right? And it can notify, hey, you know, there's a task. I could see how it would be, could be beneficial. I know there's some that are going to want to immediately unsubscribe or junk this, but I could definitely see how it'd be useful.
We've had services like this, well, still do, in the form of things like Focused Inbox, where we're relying on machine learning and some intelligence to go through and identify content in our mailbox. And at least in the Focused Inbox, we can train it. We can say, actually, that's an other email. I don't really need to see that often. Or actually, that one should be focused. It's from someone important, and you've misread this or misrecognized it. There's probably not going to be an opportunity to do that with a Cortana briefing email. So you'll probably see things like you saw in my example, where it's actually a promotional email. I know it's from some friends, and it's for an event that I know about. But you know, the language suggested in that has been detected by Cortana to say, hey, this might be a task. You want to, you know, take your chance at earning a bit of money for referring to a conference. So you're going to get little misfires like that, and without being able to train it, yeah, that could be an annoyance. But yeah, you're right, Daniel. It's for people who still really do start their day in Outlook, they're going to get a briefing, bringing together meetings, tasks like that, booking focus time. I'm not sure what else is offered there too. So yeah, keep a watch out for that. That's going to be coming early August and finished end of September. Let's get on to another big topic.
It is a pretty big topic that I think people have been really looking forward to since being announced. And this is, the title is Introducing Microsoft Lists Home, parentheses web, MC218031. And this was publicly announced at Inspire. Is that right?
Build. Inspire's on
Build,
now.
Sorry. Inspire's coming. Yes. Build. So this is, you know, the information, Microsoft's information tracking app, smart tracking app is the way it's been kind of placed in Microsoft 365. It really is the evolution of SharePoint List, because I think a lot of people who were SharePoint people looked at this and went, what is this? We've been able to do a lot of this in SharePoint, and you're creating a whole nother, no, it's just an evolution of the SharePoint List. And in fact, this, you'll see that integration or that evolution play out immediately when you start using this, because this new home, and you'll see a new lists button in the app launcher. So you'll be able to see that, but what you'll see,
it feels
see,
very 80s style, that logo too.
It kind of does, yeah, with the different colors. But what you'll see is your existing SharePoint list that you've been interacting with and been favoriting and following on your SharePoint sites show up there. And so the ones you've been frequently using, the ones you've marked, they will show up in this new home site. So it is apparent that this is SharePoint lists. But what we're getting with Microsoft List is a place for all those to come together so we can see them in one place, in addition to additional functionality and nice features. First of all is 8 new templates for lists to get you schema and formatting. So we'll get issue tracker, evaluations, new hire checklist, asset tracker, itinerary, project planning, etc. So there's 8 of them that we'll be getting right out of the gate. So we can start off a list new. You can create rules for your list. This is one of, I think, probably the most interesting things about this for me, is that you can create rules for your, and I did quotes for everybody that's listening to the podcast. Rules for your lists. And it's really a new UI for Power Automate in this Microsoft list experience. If you're using a SharePoint list on your site, in a modern SharePoint list, you can do Power Automate, you know, create power flows using Power Automate all day long. Microsoft List is calling them rules, I guess. So you could basically, if you think about an Outlook rule saying, you know, if an email comes in from so-and-so, then do this. Well, it's kind of the same thing, which is what Power Automate flows do anyway with SharePoint lists. But you create these rules to say when a new item is created, it's a new UI of click this big old button that says when an item is created, then I want to notify, you know, I want to send an email to so-and-so, whether it's the someone who's marked in that list item. You know, if you're assigning a list to someone, then send an email to that person. Or if it's, hey, I have a manager of this particular process that I want to send an email to get approvals for, you can do that as well. So that's probably the most interesting part about this for me, is that the kind of new UI, a different UI, and calling it rules. Microsoft Teams integration, which I think will be a fantastic integration point, is coming soon, but it's not part of this rollout. The rollout for this is targeted tenants late July, and then completed for everyone by mid October. And there's great information about Microsoft List, including a nice demo video post there in the information by Michaela. She does a great job showing and previewing Microsoft List.
Good stuff. Yeah, there's a few other training videos that people have shared, on-demand training videos, and lists appears in some of those too. So have a look for that there. And the old IntroZone podcast, which does a great job of explaining these sorts of technologies as well. But that's phase one, and we'll wait patiently for phase two, whatever that comes. Now, this is a slightly deeper dive into a message we would normally just skip over, just dismissing and saying, look, there's been an update to Office and it happens reasonably regularly. And so this message is update to Office, or rather Microsoft 365 Pro Plus on current channel, MC218018. And the message usually doesn't say much, but all the sort of useful stuff is in the release notes, which I've always found to be very helpful. If you want to get into the detail in terms of identifying the build number and then what has arrived in the different applications. Now, if I have, I should have got this ready earlier. Let's see if I've got that there. Yes, I have. Let's see if this actually turns up. This is one that I created a little GIF to try and to demonstrate this new feature within Outlook. Is that coming through? It is not. Oh, that's fun. Okay. Let's just put it up over Daniel's face then. Here we go.
Nice. There we go.
That's it. So new message that comes up. Look, to be honest, this is something in Outlook that I turn off. I don't want to see pop-ups every time a message comes in. Hey, look, you've got an email. Yeah, I know. They come in frequently. But for those of you who do have it there and you like to use it somewhat like a instant messaging app and determine whether or not you should dive in there and check it out, there's a couple of new flags, or quick actions, they call them in Outlook. As you can see, delete, flag, and dismiss. Now, take a look. I might have to just wait for that GIF to go through the next new cycle. But take a look at, first of all, it's still called Toast. But this Toast pops up from the side. Maybe the toaster is on the side, I don't know. But also how much of the preview is actually in there. There's maybe two or three lines. Is that enough for us to determine whether we should flag it, dismiss it, or delete it? So over to you, but interesting little feature there. Let's get back to some of the other stuff. We've got, where have we got here? We've got the pop-up. Oh, yeah. I should have, again, had this open earlier, so let's just throw this up pretty quickly. It's PowerPoint. You can embed stream videos in a PowerPoint, and that's kind of useful if you wanted to surface some of the stream videos within your organization and try and, you know, show them off as part of a presentation internally. I've actually used it with some of the Microsoft Teams training when I've been trying to cut over to Teams for calling. And it made it quite useful for me to just go through and jump to different positions in the video as well. So let's have, again, a look over the top of Daniel's face. Sorry, Daniel. Presenting a excellent slide, wonderful theme, polar bear in the snow. Stream video embedded there. Now, supposedly, you've got improved performance so that the video will play a lot quicker. And let's just see this in action. So as we play it to begin with, here's the title slide. Here's the video. Oh, nice gray placeholder. All right. Here's the video. Good. Loading. Ah, there we go. Right. Yes, making and receiving calls with Microsoft Teams. So performance-wise and placeholder-wise, I'd like to see a thumbnail there rather than something kind of just gray and sitting there in terms of whatever. But if we play that. Hello, Datacom. Yeah, very good. Oh, yeah, great. I've got a real knack for pausing on really awkward moments. So that's me looking very enthusiastic about Microsoft Teams calling. Performance-wise, maybe it loads a little faster, but I think this still needs a bit of work. Nice to see, though, that they are giving this some attention in terms of that feature. Lastly, what else have we got? Oh, there was this other thing over here too. Might just have to bring this up over here and blow that up rather than taking you off to look at different channels. Notifications within Microsoft Teams. You can set notifications at the channel level, and it traditionally had this first window over the top here. We had a few choices, and it appeared to be confusing to some people. Oh, look, all new posts. What kind of message do I need to see? Banner and feed, nothing, whatever. Include all replies or not? Microsoft wanted to make this a bit simpler because essentially people usually just want to turn them on or off. So they've given a few choices now. All activity. Show me everything that gets posted to this channel. Off, except direct replies. People are mentioning me or people are replying to something that I've posted. And then the custom, which will come up with this fuller window that you can set and go through. Now, this is a often sort of missed topic that people will talk about in regards to running Microsoft Teams. How do you set your notifications? It's good to see some improvements in here to allow people to have a bit more choice of how much noise comes their way in terms of Microsoft Teams. Question for you, Daniel, like you probably belong to a number of different teams, and within Teams there are a number of different channels. How often do you set notifications on a channel?
I don't often. I do a more proactive method of going and looking rather than, so I've kind of tuned myself to be able to go on certain parts of the day to look at all the different messages, because there's some teams that I definitely just don't want notifications from. I want to go and look. I don't need all that noise. And then there's others that I definitely need all of them. And so I actually do it the other way around. Rather than letting Teams notify me of everything and setting everything up like that, I generally go and look myself. The However, for, you know, I want messages for when people are chatting directly at me and all that, most certainly. But for channel messages, I just go and review it myself. Now, you have to be disciplined to do that, because if you if you forget, you could be missing out on a lot of communication that's going on.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting comment there too, because it's often the thing that people find stressful in having to go and check all these different places. Mm-hmm. And when they make that direct comparison to email, they say, well, everything comes into my inbox, so I've only got one place to check, unless I use mail rules.
Right.
Yeah, and then I'll be checking folders. But that's what it feels like for people when they go into Teams and they go, well, I've got to check all these channels here and there's something over there. So I'm trying to encourage people to use the activity channel, and where there's a channel that's important enough to their work within that team, let's say it's a project team and that channel has everything to do with their work stream that they're managing, that is where you would set your notifications. Actually, I should have just done this in the first place, and then gone into, that's not very good, is it? There we go, that one there. Custom and or changing your notifications, and then you can use the activity feed as your inbox. Very useful. But anyway, moving along, because that was quite a long salute. It was almost like we're making up for all the times that we didn't address the messages within within the Pro Plus updates. To that.
So this will be a quick one, but a really important one. So this is: required columns will now sync as read/write. MC218032. Mm-hmm. I created a video about the problem this is addressing 2 years ago, actually. So this has been a problem for a while. It's been viewed thousands of times on OneDrive sync client, making files read only. With this change, and let's take a step back. The problem is, if you go into a SharePoint library and mark a column required metadata, and then sync that those files to your desktop using the OneDrive sync client, then those files will not be able to be edited on your desktop. You just won't. You have to interact with those via the SharePoint list, the SharePoint library. Mm. This change will allow those files to be able to be written via your desktop, you know, and so when they sync them, it will no longer be read-only, which is fantastic. And this is kind of the sync client will be basically ignoring that that column needing that it's required, that metadata is required. Rollout mid-August, be completed by the end of August. So this is going to be a quick rollout for everyone, not just the targeted tenant. So it'd be good.
The reason I see this as a big deal, particularly with helping people start to work in the cloud, you know, just your early adopters, people that are in their early experience of working within Microsoft 365. Mm-hmm. The OneDrive Sync has been instrumental, particularly with on-demand files, where you're allowing people to feel like they're still going to a shared drive, and you're bridging that initial gap that people find when they have to go from, oh, I can't get to file shares anymore. Where's all my stuff? It's in SharePoint. I don't want to go to a silly old browser, whatever thing. Okay, we'll just use OneDrive Sync and sync the libraries that...
That's right.
That are, yeah. So this particular thing has been a real barrier for organizations that want to give that experience to help people get used to working in the cloud, but also want to make use of metadata that couldn't be edited if it was required. So good move, great to see.
And
you'll have to update your video, won't you?
Yeah, I will. And I do this for all my clients, because you're right. This is one of the easier ways to interact with your documents. It's great. So,
We're finishing on Cortana voice assistance in Teams Mobile. So yeah, there has been a little theme here with Cortana and looking into our different communication methods and helping us to determine what's important or not. In this case, MC218148, Cortana can be used as a voice assistant within Teams Mobile. And I use Siri as a voice assistant occasionally. I talk to her a bit and ask her to do certain things on my phone to whether it be open something or play my last podcast. You better not be listening. This feature within Teams, Teams Mobile in particular, you have your little microphone button at the top right hand corner of chat, for example, in this image, and you can hit it and say send a message or call someone, or this interesting one here, join my next meeting. So it looks in your calendar and can get you through that. That sounds pretty useful. The microphone button's around about the same size as what you'd see on a input keyboard on maybe Android or iOS. That's fine. It's something that we might normally have to, you know, push and make happen. It's only going to happen at this stage, as far as I can see, if you're in the Teams Mobile app. And what I'd like to see is a shortcut, is what they call it in at least iPhone land, where you can trigger something off with Siri inside an app, which will then trigger off Cortana. So get Siri talking to Cortana, that would be nice. Would you find this useful, Daniel? Talking to Cortana
yes,
and Teams?
I think not on the MVP, not as much as, you know, the initial release, but I could definitely see how this will evolve and be something that I would use. I do like the whole join my next meeting. Mm. I do enjoy automating what I can. I mean, I automate things here in my life all the time with lights and fans and all this kind of stuff. So I most certainly would use it. I think not a little bit now, but as they grow the service, I'll use it even more.
Mm. So maybe we'll see different commands that are coming to enable that a little more. Sending messages is all useful. One thing that I do think of, though, about this small microphone button, the service itself suggests that it's best for hands-free kind of work, where you carry on with what you're doing and you should be able to just invoke that with your voice. But I can imagine some people might be trying to use this in cars and tap, you know, the microphone and say, join my next meeting, and then maybe, you know, join via audio or whatever.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is where we get into, hey, can we have integration with Siri or other voice assistants, you know, to say, hey, Siri, tell Teams to connect to my next meeting.
Mm.
And, you know, something like that, to where, but then I will never use that because I don't like voice assistants listening to me all the time. So I turn that off. But for those that, you know, want to do that while they're driving, fine. Joining meetings while you're driving, I will not talk about whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. I will not give my opinion on this, but could it be possible? Sure.
All right. Well, just finishing off with that message to say it's US only. Yeah, that's right. Don't expect to see this in outside of the US for a little while yet, but at least is arriving mid-August and complete by the 1st of September.
Yeah,
it's quite specific.
By the 1st of September, that's right.
Yep.
As we wrap up the show, I wanted to take just a quick moment to send out condolences to one of our community members in the SharePoint Microsoft 365 community, Brian Alderman. He has lost his spouse early this morning, and I wanted just to say that we are deeply saddened, and I knew Linda, and her fight with cancer has now ended. We are very much sending our thoughts and prayers to Brian and his family as they mourn her passing and celebrate her life.
Well, there's the show, everyone. Thanks for joining. And we didn't do much of a roll call there, but we're glad to see some regulars in there. And thank you for interacting with the comments and bits and pieces. So we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.